You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. God bless you. Happy Tuesday to all of you. Thanks for joining us here today on this Tuesday. You're going to hear the sermon I just preached the day before yesterday, and that is entitled On the Road Again. We're in the book of Acts. We're going verse by verse through this book. We're up to Acts chapter 13, and the book of Acts is now going to start focusing on Saul, who today we're going to see has been recognized by his name of Paul. Not that his name was changed like others have been, but Paul was his Roman name, and just in one verse, really, just in passing, the Bible says, and Saul, who also was called Paul, and from this point on, he'll be known as Paul. He's the man who wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. So we're going to focus on him today. We're going to see a lot of the same character traits, same of the power of the Holy Spirit that was in Peter, in Paul as well. He's going to run into someone, same as Peter ran into Simon Magus. Now, Paul's going to run into someone named Bar-Jesus. We're going to follow him along. We're also going to tune in to his first recorded sermon. We know he preached in some other places. This is the first one where we're going to be able to look at his sermon. We're going to see the word justify in the Bible for the first time through the Apostle Paul's preaching. So that's where we're at here today. This will wrap up tomorrow. I invite you guys to church next time our doors are open. That's tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, is heading that up. He's in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We roll out the dry erase board. It's much more informal service. You are invited. We would love to see you for midweek Bible study Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. This will wrap up tomorrow. Then we'll be in the book of Revelation the rest of this week. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you all. Let's get into the Word now. On the road again with the Apostle Paul. Okay, on the road again. That's the name of this sermon. We're going through the book of Acts. We've had some visitors, too, who listen in on the radio as well. You'll notice on the radio, I just started the book of Revelation again. I started that on Friday. That'll play. We go through that verse by verse. I was just telling the folks down here in Sunday school that once the two witnesses show up in Jerusalem, we're going to start having five services a week, at least. We'll start there. Gene, you'll be pretty busy once that happens. Okay, now we're having an excellent time here through the book of Acts. Last week was one of my favorites in this series, as it was filled with humor, as well as a great lesson for us last week, that there's no stopping the child of God until their work on earth here is done. You guys remember? That's where we left off last week. And humor that we can laugh at these guys or laugh along with them as we read along. I mean, they're human just like we are. I mean, imagine Peter having to re-knock again on the door because they're arguing inside over who's at the door all the while. Peter is standing there knocking, and they say, Peter's here, and they say, you're crazy. So you're praying around the clock for Peter to get delivered. Peter shows up at the door, and they say, Peter's here, and they say, nah, you're full of hot air. And that's pretty funny. We really are not much different than that, really. Now, in today's sermon, we're going to see the Holy Spirit's officially calling of Saul into the ministry. We'll also see his name now changed to Paul, never again to be referred to as Saul. Also, we're going to see an early sermon by Paul, his first recorded sermon. Also, we're going to see Paul starting to display some of the same discernments and authority that Peter had. Now, let's pick it up here from the top. There's a lot to look at here today. We're in Acts chapter 13. Let's pick it up in verse 1. Now, in the church that was at Antioch. Now, Antioch was the hub for Christianity. That is Syria near Israel, but this was the central hub for the church, was Antioch. We're going to read later on, it says that they were first called Christians at Antioch. That's this city here in Syria. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Now, remember, because they had no Bible yet, that's why there's still prophets early on in the New Testament. There's prophets in the church until the Word of God is complete. Once the Word of God is complete, the prophets will start to vanish because there's no more need for a prophet once the Word of God is complete. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 1, right? God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He's appointed heir over all things. So early on, I believe when He says, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. You've got all the words of prophecy that you want right here. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now catch the quotation marks around the Holy Spirit speaking. He is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. You can see the quotation marks here. So the Holy Spirit says, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now, there's the second time he's mentioned fasting here in this text. Giving up something you love to draw near to God. Especially food, right? I mean, everyone needs food. I mean, imagine me fasting broccoli. Really? I mean, to draw close. Boy, what a sacrifice on my part, huh? You know what? I'm going to fast broccoli all year. Moses, you can take a seat. I'll go 41 days and 41 nights. Sold to the American. 42. Something you love. Fasting, you give up something that you love. Could be food. Maybe you could fast from using your thumb. I didn't even have to explain that, Pastor, did I? The Bible says that some demons can only be expelled by fasting. That is, of course, unless you have a New Modern Bible, then they cut the word fasting out of that text. Jesus says this kind of demon can only come out by prayer and fasting. Notice again the quotation marks around the Holy Spirit. This is His ministry. Now that the Lord Jesus has returned to heaven, their ministries on earth do not coincide. The Lord Jesus said, John 16:7, He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, then the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. The ministries of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus don't continue at the same time. Now, I'd imagine when Jesus returns, the same thing will happen, but in reverse. We read also in the Bible, the Apostle Paul says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains, that's the Spirit, only he who now restrains will continue until he is taken out of the way. Okay, so the Holy Spirit's called Barnabas and Saul into the ministry and into the service. Verse 4.
So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit,
they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, as I call it, Salami, when they arrived in Genoa, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul, and he sought to hear the word of God. All right, sorcerer, once again, is the Greek word magos. Magi, remember the Christmas story, right? The magi, the wise men. The word means magician, wise men. Also, the Bible calls this magi a false prophet. Now, Bar in Hebrew naturally means what? Son. Bar Jesus, son of Jesus. And I reckon that this magician will prove it by pulling a rabbit out of a hat. It's like Bo Winkle, right? Watch me pull this rabbit out of this hat. Oops, wrong hat. Might as well do this. Verse 6, now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, Elymas the sorcerer withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. You see, there's a huge battle of the ages going on for the souls of men, women, and children everywhere. From the birth of Jesus, when the evil King Herod ordered the deaths of all the children under 2 years old, to right here and now and all around you here, in your family, at your job, at your children's school, even at corrupt churches, which don't teach the word of God anymore. All of life and all around us, there is a spiritual battle going on for the souls of men, women, and children everywhere. All of you spiritual leaders in your houses, when it's you men and you fathers, I'm talking to you here on Father's Day, or if it's you young ladies, due to weak-willed men, jellyfish, who dropped the ball, and now you're forced to do this yourself. All you spiritual leaders in your homes, I encourage you, I instruct you, I implore you to take charge in your home. Because the same things that are up against them are up against you today as well. Jesus said, don't let anyone steal your crown. Train up your child in a way he should go. And when he's old, it's Proverbs 22:6, right? When he's old, he will not depart from it. There's a magician out there every which way you turn, whose mission is to turn you away from the faith. Not just these guys. They're trying to turn you away from the faith as well. A magician is a great deceiver. That's what Jesus said. Remember, to ask them, what'll be the sign of your coming? What'll be the signs at the end of the world? What did he say? Take heed that no one deceives you. A magician's a great deceiver. Do you really think that David Copperfield can make an elephant vanish under a sheet? Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote about the coming Antichrist. He says, the coming of the lawless one, that's his name for him, is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders. Here's David Copperfield with an elephant under a sheet. A magician, lying wonders. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Also this verse, Ephesians 6:12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. We need to pray for discernment. Let's do that right now.
Lord God, we come to you in the power of the name of Jesus. We pray for discernment. I pray for discernment for this church family, for those watching here on the internet, for those that are going to watch on YouTube, for those that are going to hear this on the radio, and all of us here in the church. Help us to have the eyes in the back of our head. Give us the discernment that we need to be a strong leaders in our home. Lead us, help us to have what we do not have on our own. Discernment from on high so that we can protect our families. We ask you this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, verse 9. Now here comes the name change, or at least the acknowledgement of his Roman name. He's going to throw a little Apostle Peter on this guy too. If you guys remember, we've looked at these awesome things Peter's been doing here in the book of Acts. Now we're going to see Paul doing some of these things as well. He's going to throw some Peter on this guy because in the eyes of God, there's nothing worse on the planet than a deceiver who tries to keep people away from faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, verse 9. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, it's just one little uneventful word like this. You never hear the word Saul ever again. It's just right here. Then Saul, comma, who is also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. All right, here it comes now. Now he's going to give both barrels. Same as Peter did before, now it's going to come from Paul. So then Saul, who's also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" Wow, what a terrible condemnation he's laid on this guy, huh? Full of all deceit, tricks. I also saw in there wile. Makes me think of Wile E. Coyote. Sleight of hand, David Copperfield. And then full of all fraud, means unscrupulous, wicked schemes. The King James says, "Oh, you full of all subtlety and mischief." With the crime being a spiritual pervert. That's the crime. Trying to take people off the straight and narrow. The spiritual pervert. Drawing you away from the faith. And from the straight ways, not crooked, from the straight ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone that tries to get you off of the straight ways of the Lord is a spiritual pervert. They're after your soul, not after your flesh. The straight ways of the Lord. God says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Jesus says, "I am the way." There is no other way. There is no other path that leads to eternal life, salvation, or peace with God, and the forgiveness of sin other than the man in the glory, Jesus Christ. That's why we're here today, church. We're here to worship the King. Now, back again to Paul's condemnation. And then taking one from Peter's playbook, now Paul's going to hand out the sentence for trying to lead people astray from the straight and narrow way which leads to heaven through Jesus Christ. Because there's going to be a punishment attached to this. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "Oh, you full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil." We can say, "Who's your daddy?" Who wants to hear that? So let me see if I get this right. Leading people astray from the straight ways of the Lord, he calls you a son of the devil. Not something you want to hear today. And yet, aren't there churches doing that all the time? I know of, there's two more here today. I know of at least six people in this small church of 60 people who their old church was trying to do this to them. And they said, "You know what? Enough is enough. I'm not going to sit here anymore in this church where the pastor, even the pastor, is going to lead people astray from the straight and narrow way that leads to heaven." There's two here. there's two there, there's other people in this church that says, you know what, I'm not doing this. You're not going to lead me astray. Look at the condemnation. He calls them, oh, you son of the devil. He takes this very serious. Full of deceit, all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, verse 11, indeed, all right, here comes the Spock eyebrow now. Anytime you read that word, indeed, I wish I could do that. Meaning, here it comes, Smedley. You're in for a world of hurt now. And it's just like Peter, now it's Paul. It was Peter for 11 chapters. Starting now, the indeed eyebrow is going to come from Paul. Indeed. Just like, remember, Peter said, listen, here come the feet of the guys that buried your husband for lying to the church leader and lying to God. Now it's coming from Paul. The hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. There's the first time I've ever seen the hand of the Lord on someone for something bad and not good. Punishment, the hand of judgment. So immediately, this is verse 11, a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Not so big and bad anymore, is he? Now he's like the mummy, right? Oh! They got to grab him by the little hand. Wipe the drool off of his chin. Immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. All right, so we're traveling with the Apostle Paul here today on his first missionary journey, as they're referred to, on the road again. That's what I've called this sermon. He's going to take three of these famous trips where he went around the known world telling people about Jesus. That's why we're all here today. Because at a command we just read a few verses earlier. Now separate from me these two guys and send them out there. Remember what Jesus said? You will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're seeing that all come to place here now. Now for the rest of this sermon here, my sermon, let's hit on the highlights of Paul's first recorded sermon. Let's see how Paul preaches to Jews, because it'll be different than his message to the Gentiles, because the Jews have a rich history. You guys have no history. All you have is the New Testament. You have no history. It's all new. All right, verse 13. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. Now, this is a different Antioch. This one's near Galatia. They came to Antioch in Pisidia, and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." So then Paul stood up, motioned with his hand, and said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen." All right, now Paul, just like Stephen did in chapter 7, he's now going to get into the long history of the nation of Israel. Let's pick it up in verse 20. We'll cut to the chase a little bit here. He's going through the history of Israel, okay? Now, after that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. Afterwards, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." Boy, I sure would love him to say that about me. What do you guys think about that? Right? I have found Anthony to be a man after my own heart. something to strive for, you think?
And the good news is it's not too late if you can't say that yet. This is why Jesus died. It's not too late. We make it right, that's all. I wasted 31 years of my life. It's never too late. As long as there's breath in you, it's not too late. We make it right. That's all. We make it right. This is why Jesus died. We can make it right. God says your sins and your lawless deeds and coming short of the glory of God, he will remember no more. That's the best Father's Day news, any day news I could tell you. We make it right in here today. And then God can say that and will say that about you as well. How can I get there? You love the things that God loves. It's simple. You love the things that God loves. You hate the things that God hates. Verse 23 says, from this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John, that's John the Baptist, had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, who do you think that I am? I am not he, that's the Messiah. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandal of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the tomb. Verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that's good news, the promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he's raised up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Notice now, notice how the Apostle Paul in this sermon, he's going to make the resurrection the key point of what he's talking about. The resurrection is the Christian faith. That's what he's going to focus on. We study this guy. What did he focus on? The resurrection. Also notice too, that what was Psalm 2 2,000 years ago is still Psalm 2 in our Bible. Interesting, isn't it?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.